Oh Lord, we're so blessed by your presence, and Holy Spirit, how you've been moving this morning already with pictures and visions and things that you're telling us, for the ways you're speaking to our hearts, and not only our minds, but to our hearts. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would sanctify our ears, our minds, you would sanctify our hearts, that we could receive what it is that you would like to impart to us today out of your love and your goodness. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was at Discount Drug. And I noticed there's a lottery machine as you're checking out, where people go and put their money in and get their tickets. And next to it is a wastebasket that periodically is full of tickets that have been torn in two and dumped. People thinking they didn't win anything. And I've pondered this because the vision came back to me this past week a number of times, and I felt the Lord might be saying some different things. And this morning I felt like the Lord was saying, sometimes we receive things from the Lord and we think it's not a big deal, and so we kind of toss it aside. And the Lord is saying, look at those tickets again. Because they represent pure gold. And so today I believe the Lord would have us experience him in a renewed, in a refreshed way. And so if this sounds like old news, it's good news, not old news. And God wants to take us to a new place today. There's a prophecy I fell in love with for many reasons, but it's in Daniel 2:44, and it reads, "And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, that it broke the pieces of iron, bronze, and clay, the silver and the gold. A great God made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure." So Daniel has this vision from God, and it's larger than this, but this is a key piece, and it's a vision that God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. I love this part. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. I love when it talks about breaking things to pieces, because actually in another translation it talks about this kingdom that God's going to establish is going to crush all other kingdoms. For you that have had children, you might remember when they're in their high chair and you put a bunch of Cheerios on their tray and they throw them, and you think you pick them up and you're walking along, and all of a sudden you step on one crispy one and you just crush it. That's what I picture here when it talks about the Lord setting up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, that will crush all other kingdoms. So we get to the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is always proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. Or he's speaking about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Or he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. That Jesus identified himself, that in his coming, he came proclaiming that the kingdom of God was at hand. He came proclaiming that message. It was coming out of prophetic words of the past that we read about in the Old Testament about the coming kingdom. And so Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. And what does he do? He begins to heal the sick, to deliver the oppressed. He goes about multiplying food for hungry people. He's doing all sorts of signs and wonders, and each time he's doing this, it's pointing to the fact that the kingdom of God has broken into the world. And as it breaks into the world through Jesus, Jesus demonstrates that his kingdom, the kingdom of God, is crushing all other kingdoms. The kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of sin, the kingdom of death, the kingdom of sickness, the kingdom of blindness. He goes about doing these miracles because it's revealing the truth that the kingdom of God has broken into this world. Now we know it's not complete, obviously. It has a way to go. But it continues to move further and further into the life of this world until the time that Christ returns, and then the fullness of it will be known. Okay? We look forward to that. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Because we're going to see the completion of the kingdom of God. Well, then in Matthew 10, Jesus does something interesting. It's landmark stuff. Jesus has been proclaiming the kingdom with authority and power. He's been demonstrating the power of the kingdom of God. And then he calls the disciples today to himself. And what does he do? He says, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you authority. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. He's saying to his disciples, you go now and do what you've been watching me do. Not in your own power, but I'm going to give you authority that just as I have been proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven, or the good news of the kingdom, just as I have been saying this and preaching this to the towns and villages and people wherever I went, now I'm saying, you're going to do this. I'm going to give you authority to do this. And as you preach, what are you going to do? You're going to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. He's saying, disciples, you've been spending time with me. I've been doing this work, but now, as you have watched me do it, I'm calling you to go out. And you're not going to go out with your own stuff. You're going to go out with authority. With authority. And as you proclaim the kingdom of God that is here to crush all other kingdoms, you're going to be anointed to dismantle kingdoms of the world, kingdoms of demonic, kingdoms of sickness, kingdoms of blindness, kingdoms of death. You're going to be anointed with authority to do what I have been doing. We're going to show a little video.
And if you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently described God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. The very first word used in this description of God is compassionate, or in Hebrew, rachum. This word also appears as a noun, rachamim, or compassion. And what's fascinating is that both of these words are related to the Hebrew word for womb, rechem. So compassion in the Hebrew Bible is centered on a person's core, and the word invites us to imagine a mother's tender feelings for her vulnerable infant. So rachum is a word that conveys intense emotion. Sometimes it's even translated as deeply moved, like in the story of King Solomon, who meets two women who've just given birth. One of their babies sadly dies, but then both women claim that the baby still living is theirs. As a test, Solomon says to cut the baby in two and give each mother a half. And the baby's real mother is deeply moved. She would rather the other woman take her baby than see her child die. And it's her compassion that reveals that she's the true mother. But rachum isn't just an emotional word. It also involves action. And surprisingly, the word is used most often to describe God's actions motivated by his emotions. Like when the Israelites are suffering and oppressed in Egypt, God hears their cries and is compelled by his compassion, his rachamim, to rescue them. Then, as the Israelites travel through the dangerous wilderness, they're hungry and thirsty, and God is rachum, caring for them as his own child. He provides everything they need, food, water, and clothing, as he personally guides them. So it's no surprise that when Yahweh reveals his character to the Israelites in the wilderness, he begins by saying he's compassionate. But despite Yahweh's continual rachamim, the Israelites turn away from him time and again. They reject Yahweh's compassion and instead give their allegiance to other gods. And rather than showing compassion to each other, they do violence. And their rebellion results in exile, and they're scattered among the nations. And it's in this dark moment in Israel's story that we come to the book of Isaiah, where Yahweh compares himself to a mother full of rachamim toward her baby. He says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child, or have no compassion or rachamim on the child of her womb? Even if she forgets, I will not forget you." God is full of motherly compassion, and he will rescue his people. And as you read further in Isaiah, you realize that God is going to do this by entering into the suffering of humanity. And this points forward to a time when Jesus comes on the scene. He is Yahweh's deep compassion become human. In Greek, the word compassion is oiktirmos. And as Jesus embraces the sick and cares for the outcast, he is deeply moved by human suffering. Jesus compares himself to a mother hen using her wings to shield her chicks from danger as he gathers people into his embrace. And in the ultimate expression of oiktirmos, Jesus is moved by compassion to enter into humanity's suffering, into death itself, to rescue and bring us near to God. And it's this same life of compassion that Jesus calls his followers to imitate, allowing ourselves to be moved by the pain of others, to embrace the hurting, and to participate in relieving suffering in the world. In this way, we too can embody the compassion of Yahweh, or in Jesus' words, be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Now you can see how fitting it is that compassionate is the first word God uses to describe himself. So when we're in pain or see others suffering, we can be certain that God is deeply moved to respond and that he's there to meet us with his deep compassion.
And it's foundational for Jesus proclaiming the kingdom and for his demonstrating the kingdom. And it's foundational for us as believers, and it was for the apostles, the disciples, that they're going out to proclaim and to demonstrate the kingdom of God with authority, that it was springing out of a foundation of God's heart. In the passage read today, it talks about, yes, it does. It talks about Jesus in Matthew 9:35 said, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Jesus was acting out of the heart of God as he was God made flesh. And his heart was one of compassion. And this compassion wasn't, as we just learned, wasn't something about just kind of sympathy or, you know, it's bad. There are 5,000 people. They can find a Wendy's on their own. No, the heart of God is a heart that, right as it talked about the mother's womb, it's right in the core of the gut. It's something that when you see a certain situation or a person in need, there's something that happens in your heart when the compassion of God is filling our life. Years ago, the first time I started to work with this, God started to work with me. We had what was called the Great Lakes Healing Conference with Francis and Judith McNutt. And we held this conference at the Akron Civic Theater, and we would do worship, and Francis and Judith would do some teaching, and then we would call people, anyone that wants prayer, come up. And so there are 800 people to 1,000 filling the seats, and all of a sudden there are all these people just come up, and just lines across the stage, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I had the privilege of being with Francis as he was praying, and I joined him in that. But one of the things that happened to me was this woman that came up in a wheelchair, and we started to anoint and pray for her, and I just started to weep. And I thought, why am I weeping? Why am I hurting so much right now? What's that about? I started to discover I was experiencing the compassion of God as he looked upon this woman. In a similar way, we remember our son John ended up with a stick stuck deep in his wrist. And I remember him sitting on our lap waiting for him to be treated at a children's hospital. And it was like I was having a pain in my wrist. And my heart was just breaking for my son and the pain he was enduring. What was that? That's tasting the compassion of God for a person in need. Jesus said, "What you do to the least of these, you do also unto me." Jesus is such that his compassion, the compassion of God, is one that when Jesus would see someone hungry, or today see someone hungry, that it's as if he is feeling the pain of hunger. When someone is naked and has no clothing, Jesus is so identifies with that person that he experiences what it is to be naked without clothing. When a person is in prison, Jesus so identifies and is connected so well to the person in prison that he feels what they're feeling and experiencing. And so Jesus says, when someone is ministered to in my name, that I feel the relief of healing. I feel the relief of being set free from prison. I feel the relief of whatever was oppressing. The disciples, as they went out with authority, They went out with power. They went out with the directions of Jesus. But the key thing was, underneath it all, there was a motivating factor, and that was compassion. Compassion. Now, who else does Jesus send out? Any ideas? Us. Boy, that was bold. Just like I would have said it. Yeah. Who else does Jesus send out?
All of us.
All of us.
That know him.
That know him.
He said, go.
He said, go.
Spirit, go.
Go. Yeah. He calls us. He gives us his spirit, the power of his spirit. He gives us, when we hear him, direction about where to go and what to be about. And he gives us authority to proclaim the kingdom of God and to demonstrate it. But before any of that happens, he calls us to be filled with what?
Holy Spirit.
What else?
Compassion.
Compassion. The compassion of God. That we would know the heart of God. That when we're at Cracker Barrel and the waitress comes up, that I wouldn't just see a waitress, I would say, Lord, how do you see this person? And give me your heart of compassion for this person. When there's someone troubled in my neighborhood or next door, Lord, how do you see this person? I see them as a problem sometimes, but how do you see them? Give me your heart of compassion for that person. When the compassion of the Lord is present, it's very easy to tell people the good news. Because you so love them. You want to share your testimony. You want to share something of Jesus with them. And when they share a need, you want to say, can I pray with you? Let the kingdom of God advance into that person's life. Okay, I can't remember where it was, but it was some great athletic event. And it's probably basketball, and it's a championship, and I just remember there's a net full of balloons over the people. And the balloons were there all along, but they had to be released. And when they were released, it was a beautiful thing. I was picturing today the compassion of God over us here today. That a lot of us know the compassion of God. I know we do. But that he has his compassion over us, and he's saying, let go of the net. Let the balloons of compassion come upon the congregation to fill us afresh with the compassion of the Lord. And then, Lord, fill us again with your spirit. Fill us again with your authority. That as we leave here today, we take Jesus to wherever the Lord calls us to live and be this week. Is that okay? Let's stand. Lord, thank you for your compassion. You might just put your hands out in a receiving mode if you'd like more. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take away the net and let the balloons of compassion fall upon us today. Lord, that we would know what it is to feel your compassion, not a worldly compassion, but a divine, godly compassion. The compassion that filled you, Jesus, as you saw the multitudes that were hungry, that filled you, Jesus, as you were about to proclaim the kingdom of God and to do signs and wonders? Lord, there's so much more. I just sense this word. There's so much more. Let your compassion come upon us now, Lord. Take it deep within our being. Oh, Lord, may your compassion grow in us this day. And as we see people today, whether family or friends or strangers, wherever we're at, Lord, that, Lord, we would see people the way you see them, with your compassion. That you would fill us with compassion for our neighborhood. Fill us with compassion for the places we work and go to school. Fill us with your compassion at the store today or tomorrow. Fill us with compassion for the person that's checking us out at the store, for the bagger at the store, for the stranger. Fill us with compassion. The compassion you've given us, Lord, in the past, I pray there would be a stirring of it within our souls today. That there'd be a stirring that it crusted over a little bit, Lord, and you want to stir it. That we might sense your heart for the lost, your heart for the hurting, your heart for the hungry, your heart for the naked, your heart for the one in prison, your heart for the one in rehab, your heart for the one in the hospital. Oh God, light a fire today, a fire of compassion. And Lord, we hold our hands out to you because we don't know where to go or what to do in sharing you. But Lord, I pray that you would lead us to people that as they would sense your compassion, that they would feel all of a sudden vulnerable to share a need in their life. And Lord, that we would know your authority and we would know your power to share our witness with that person and to pray with them, Lord. And as we pray with them, they would have an experience of an encounter with you, Lord, like never before. That the demons would flee. That more and more people would be healed. That the blind would regain their sight. That the paralytics will walk. That the person that is addicted will be set free from those chains. Oh God, but may it be built upon your compassion alive in each one of us. Lord, when we feel compelled to talk a lot to someone, Lord, help us to hold back and to listen with compassion. For the people want to tell their stories, Lord. They're waiting for someone who has compassion that will listen. Lord, help us to listen as we share your compassion and your power with others. Thank you for that, Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.